Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 3rd. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon are Police Chief of Albany, Eric Hawkins, and Police Chief of Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Michael Wynn. These two law enforcement veterans have decades of experience between them, and they are here to answer your policing questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since 2012. Chief Wynn has been with the Pittsfield Police Department since 1996 and has led the force since 2007. If you have a question about law enforcement, policing, or summer safety, now is the time to call 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn, your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today are Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn. They are here to answer your law enforcement, policing, and summer safety questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since 2012. He rose through the ranks of that department, starting as a cadet in 1990. In all, Chief Hawkins has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience. He is affiliated with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the FBI National Academy Associates, the FBI Law Enforcement Executive Development Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. A graduate of Taconic High School in Pittsfield, Chief Wynn joined the city's police force in 1996 and has led the force since 2007. He is a certified trainer in a variety of disciplines, including defensive tactics, firearms, patrol procedures, use of force, cultural diversity, bias crimes, leadership, and workplace discrimination. If you have a question about law enforcement, there is no better time to call than right now. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also tweet us at WAMCVoxPop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number on a call-in show, good thing to have, 800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins, Chief Wynn, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here, Ray. Thank you.
Let's talk, before we get to the calls and such, about perception versus reality. Now, I sometimes have meteorologist Jason Goff on the program, and we often talk about how your perception and your memory of weather events can be different than reality. In other words, my wife and I might say, oh, God, it was a rainy, terrible spring. And they'll say, nah, rain was about average. My perception is that when summer hits, crime goes up. Am I wrong? Am I right?
Your perception is correct in general, because in most cities, we do see an increase in activity. We see an increase in criminal activity.
Why is that?
Well, I think people are out and about more. People are interacting with others more. A lot of the activity that we see that's revolves around criminal activity involves individuals who have disputes with others. And so when it gets warmer out, you know, people have more personal interactions with others outside. And so I think that contributes to it a little bit. And just being out and about, I think, changes how you know, just the general activity level that we see. And so, you know, we looked at our crime stats, you know, over last 5 years, and we looked at activity on a monthly basis. And over the last 5 years, consistently during the summer months, you know, our activity level rises, and it rises fairly substantially. So your perception, at least in the city of Albany, that it rises is accurate. And I think that's generally the case around the country.
Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn.
In general, I'd agree with my colleague. Definitely when we talk about actual criminal activity, we do tend to see moderate increases. And I think his reasons are sound. There's more interpersonal contact. Ironically, historically in the city of Pittsfield, we saw the same trends with our call volume. But for the last couple of years, our call volume remains pretty steady throughout the year.
Interesting. Is there anything in particular that you will do? You put more boots on the ground in the summer months, or do you just take it as it comes?
We have to have more police presence in a lot of areas. But, you know, we found that a lot of these problems that we're seeing, they weren't really problems that that police presence could really prevent in the first place. It had to deal with interpersonal communication conflicts. Had to deal with, family disputes. You know, we start to see more individuals who have mental health issues, substance abuse issues, who are out and about when the weather gets warmer. And so we start to see during the summertime a lot of the social issues that we deal with become a little bit more prominent, and we have to get involved a little bit more.
You know, that's funny. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and I have talked about this before, the changing role of police, and there's more of an ombudsman, more of a dispute mediator. Police Chief Michael Wynn of Pittsfield, do you find that it's changing on your side as well?
Certainly, and not just in law enforcement, but when I talk to my colleagues across municipal government, we're the service that's there 24 hours a day, every day of the week. So when other services go home, when people need assistance, we're who they reach out for. So we have to be a little more adept at responding to a variety of issues.
And how has the training of the rank and file police force changed to accommodate that over the years?
So we spend a lot more time in our basic recruit academy on what we consider, or we describe as, crisis intervention training. It's recognizing and training to respond to people who have mental illness or dual diagnosis. We spend a lot more time working closely with our community partners. For example, we have a mental health clinician co-located with the department. He's assigned a radio call sign. He carries a radio. He responds to calls with us, so we can intercede with some of those calls in the field and in the home instead of having to transport to a hospital or make an arrest. So we've seen a lot of success with forming new collaborations.
We are joined today by Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. If you have a question about law enforcement, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. And we go to Carrie in the Berkshires. Carrie, you're on.
All right.
Hello.
Hi. I'm a retired police officer from Massachusetts, so I'm going to ask Chief Flynn a question that pertains to traffic control. Many times driving through Pittsfield, or actually any community in Massachusetts, you come across where there's either the DPW or contractors or utility companies doing work on a road. And there's always been like a double standard, I think, to who's going to be doing the traffic control there. And I believe it's probably because of the overtime rate that's required to pay a full-time police officer to work that job. And so when it's the Department of Public Works, it's usually nobody's there, or they'll have one of the DPW employees who really hasn't been trained in traffic control, trying to do his best to get the cars through safely. And then you'll have utility companies and other outside contractors doing work on roads that might be a very secondary road with very little traffic, and you'll see a police officer there getting the $35, $40 an hour rate. So it's like a double standard, and who's paying the bill? And I'd like to hear what Chief Wynn has to say about that.
Sure. Before I answer that, where did you serve? What department did you serve with?
I worked in Adams.
Thank you for your service. So I'm sure you're aware, several years ago now, they actually changed the state statute regarding this, and they opened it up to non-sworn flag persons, a civilian who's trained in traffic control, and it largely is up to the contractor how they choose to do that. So if it's a open manhole situation where the contractor is required to, then they get to pick if they're going to go with flag people or they're going to hire the detail officers. In most communities, when they write the open manhole language, they exempt their own municipal departments. So in Pittsfield, for example, if it's our water department, they use water department personnel. The ordinance that we use for open manhole doesn't apply. But if it's a private contractor, utility company, they get to pick.
Yeah, to me personally, I always thought it was a little bit unfair because it's fair to the taxpayer in the first way you just mentioned it, with the DPW or the water department working, but it's kind of unfair to the consumer because it's all factored into his bill, the wages that he has to pay for those overtime police officers.
When you look at the rates the companies that use flaggers charge, it's practically identical. There's not a significant savings choosing between flaggers and police officers.
Carrie, thank you very much for the call. Do you guys, I mean, you guys have been in law enforcement a long time. Does becoming a bean counter annoy you? This is part of the job, the paperwork and the budgets. Does that drive you nuts?
It's certainly not what we signed up for.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Brian in Pittsfield. Brian, you're on.
Good afternoon. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a Pittsfield resident, so I think this is mainly a question for Chief Wynn. My partner is a 53-year-old woman with frontotemporal dementia, and she's otherwise healthy. She likes to walk and run and do yoga and things like that. But she's also very unaware of certain social norms, and we'll talk to strangers and we'll sometimes say things that cause people to call the police. And that's happened to her in Pittsfield at least once, and she luckily managed to get off the scene before the police arrived. I fear that if the law enforcement did have an encounter with her, her first instinct would be to run or to do something not appropriate. And I guess I'm just wondering, generally, if you can talk about people with dementia, and particularly younger people with dementia, who the last thing you would think when you saw them is that they had dementia, and how the world can be safe for them when they can't necessarily comprehend or comply with law enforcement call.
Sure, it's a great question. So just to start with, in general, similar to our previous line of conversation about crisis intervention training, we do spend a considerable amount of time, particularly in the last several years, doing in-service training around issues concerning dementia and Alzheimer's. There's great national programs from the IACP on that, and our personnel have taken part in that training. But probably the best suggestion I can make, and I appreciate you reaching out, is for us to meet her beforehand. If you contact our dispatch center, you contact one of our supervisors, we can arrange to introduce the patrol officers in your neighborhood to her, update her information in our system. So if a call comes in, we're pre-informed about who we might be dealing with, so we can anticipate some of those responses. And she'll be more comfortable with us. That's by far the easiest thing we can do, is introduce our personnel to her and make sure her information is up to date in our system. So if we know who we're dealing with, we know what the circumstances we're dealing with are.
Brian, thank you for the call. We have to take a break here. We're joined today by Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. If you have a question about law enforcement or summer safety, anything like that, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551 is the number. We talked law enforcement today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn. Summer is here. That brings with it, I would assume, a slew of safety reminders from our law enforcement officers. And you go first.
Well, first, I'd like to, let our parents know to, keep an eye on our children, make sure that our children have some positive places for outlets. There's a whole slew of summer programs available in Albany and in other surrounding communities. If we can find something for our children to do there, that's tremendously helpful. Bicycle safety, our children are out on bikes a lot more. Make sure that our children are aware of basic bicycle safety, because we're starting to see, get complaints about children in the roadways and not abiding by, crossing with the lights and things of that sort. So those types of things.
That's very interesting. Now, in Albany, you're not allowed to ride bikes on the sidewalk, right? Is that true?
We've got bike paths. And
bike paths. Are,
yes.
Let me just complain about bicycles just for a second here. Oftentimes in my town, and I won't say where that is, bicyclists, and you have, as you're a driver, you have to be extra careful about bicyclists. They're naked out there virtually. However, they're the first ones to run a red light. They're the first ones to blow a stop sign. it's kind of a two-way street that only runs one way.
Indeed, indeed. And we want to send the message out to our bicyclists as well, our adult bicyclists, to abide by the bicycle safety and just general courtesy on the roadways as well.
Do you ever have to ticket a bike rider, Chief Wynn?
Me personally, no, but we have issued citations to
really?
Cyclists.
And what would be a standard one? You don't get them for not stopping at a stop sign, because no bicyclist I've ever seen stops at a stop sign.
Certainly not for a stop sign. We generally get marked lanes violations or failure to use care in starting or entering.
Yeah.
This has been a conversation in Pittsfield that's caused some controversy, but a cyclist who causes a motor vehicle crash can be held responsible for the crash.
Which is interesting, because there's no insurance involved on the bicyclist side. Right. What do you do then?
We don't worry about the insurance. We worry about the injuries and
right.
how to assign fault so that somebody's not negatively impacted.
Aside from bikes, what are some of the summer safety tips you have for us, Chief Wynn?
Well, it's summer in the beautiful Berkshires in the Northeast here in the Albany area, the capital area, so there's lots of outdoor recreational opportunities.
You guys have fireworks coming up, as do you,
yes.
Chief Hawkins.
Yes,
tomorrow night in Pittsfield. Safe boating.
Yeah.
If you're outdoors engaging in summer activities, stay safe, stay hydrated, keep an eye on the children. If you're engaging in recreational activities on your own property, make sure that your home is secure. We have a lot of issues historically with people cooking out and barbecuing in the backyard, but the front door is open because the windows and screens are open, and that's just inviting trouble.
Yeah.
So just be aware of your surroundings and make sure you're taking care of yourself.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Well, of course, in Massachusetts now, marijuana is quite legal. And I would assume, aside from being able to say goodbye to some of the law enforcement aspects of this, you now have to deal with drivers. And how do you figure out if a driver is high?
We're still struggling with that. There are roadside assessments that we can use. They're different than the standard field sobriety tests for alcohol impairment, but our officers are using them. We do have specialized officers who are trained as drug recognition experts who, if they're available, we can call them. We can always take somebody off the road and continue the investigation and decide if we're going to bring charges later. But how to identify somebody who's under the influence of cannabinoids is an issue that we're still struggling with.
Still
as a common
evolving science. In general, good or bad thing or neutral, the legalization?
Is in the city of Pittsfield, we've kind of been blessed with a really smooth rollout. We didn't have a lot of the issues with traffic congestion that some of the other communities had. So we're in a pretty good place. We are seeing some property crimes of opportunity, not necessarily around the dispensaries, but around people who are engaging in their right to grow in their home.
Yeah.
And they're being targeted for their legally grown marijuana.
Well, Chief Hawkins, I hope you're listening, because I think it's coming next year for you, too.
Indeed.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is here. Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn. And back to the phones we go. Diane in Albany. Diane.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I'd like to say we don't have bike paths in Albany. We have bike lanes, and there's a very different risk for a bicyclist on one versus the other, but that's not my question. I have family members who are law enforcement officers, and I actually worked as a police dispatcher when I was younger. And I see a shift in the number of incidences of unnecessary force being used against unarmed people. And what I see in my, when I was a dispatcher, you could definitely see that there were some police officers who took it a little bit macho as opposed to others who would be more receptive to the de-escalation techniques that you were talking about earlier. And I guess my question is, with my family members, they completely deny or refuse to accept the fact that any police officer could ever do anything wrong, could ever use unnecessary force. And, for myself, I don't know how to deal with them in that thinking. But as police officers yourself, as, in your positions, how do you deal with Or is there some method to address those officers who may be more prone to using unnecessary force? I guess, to use a metaphor, is there a way to weed out the bad apples?
Well, Chief Hawkins and I have talked about this on past shows, and I'll let you go first, and then we'll hand it over to Chief Wynn.
You know, first, Diane, I want to apologize for my my lapse in terminology when it, as it pertains to paths and lanes. You know, when you come from out of state, sometimes you get the terminologies mixed up. But with your question, I think it's very, very important that there are standards in police departments, and there are that we have some mechanisms in place that allow us to, number one, train officers in ways where it minimizes the chances of these sorts of things that you're talking about, and also have systems in place where if things go bad, if things go sideways, then we have a credible investigative mechanism within the police department that allows us to identify officers and get these officers the help that they need or the corrective action that's needed. We've demonstrated that here in the city of Albany. The overwhelming majority of our officers are out there doing the right things, and they're out there putting their lives on the line. They're doing things that we don't see on a day-to-day basis. But there are some times when our officers make some mistakes, and our officers have some missteps. And when that happens, we have to send the message that there will be repercussions if those things happen. It doesn't always result in a person getting fired or anything like that. But at the very least, when we identify officers that have issues, or we have a system in place that allows that to happen, then we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be very, very transparent, and we have to make the appropriate adjustments. And I think we've done that in the city of Albany.
Police Chief Michael Wynn of Pittsfield.
I would agree with everything my colleague said. I would add to that point one additional thing. In the last 5 years, there's been significant movement in law enforcement across the board, at least in this part of the country, on policy shifts and policy changes. And we redid our use of force policy about 18 months ago. And one of the significant additions that wasn't previously found in most policies was a duty to intercede. So you can have all the training in place, you can provide all the training, and the supervisors can be doing their best to be out there and look. But to have the officers' partners keeping an eye on them and say, hey, you know, you need to step back, let me take this, and stop it in the moment so that everybody can step back is huge. And so I would strongly advocate for duty to intercede clauses. The other thing that I would say about your family members, everybody's entitled to an opinion, but I would reference them to the final report of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing, which they can find on the DOJ website, and just have them read it. You can't read that and not rethink some of the not just current but historical relationships between police and some of our communities.
And I just want to add to this also. You know, a lot of times when we get asked this question, especially in print, in the newspaper, it oftentimes gets left out that we have to praise those officers who are out there doing the right things.
We absolutely
have to publicly praise them. We have to let them know, because, you know, we understand that one bad thing that happens between an officer and a resident or citizen is a bad thing. It's a bad day for that person. But there are so many good days, and we have to praise those officers to let them know that we recognize what they're doing. And I want to publicly praise my officers in the Albany Police Department, because they're out there, and I'm sure she's doing the same thing, under very, very difficult circumstances, where they're being asked to be so much more than Chief Wynn and I were ever asked to be when we were young officers. They have to be subject matter experts in mental health issues, substance abuse, and homeless and jobless issues. And we're asking this of 22 and 23-year-olds.
Are we asking too much?
I don't think that we're asking too much, but I think that our expectations our expectations may be a little high. So kind of parsing the words here a little bit, but we expect so much of these young men and young women. And I think what is needed is perspective. When something go sideways, when these young men and women make a mistake, that it's not an indictment on an entire industry. And the industry, I think, is sound. I think that there's still there are some adjustments that need to be made. And, you know, and the caller is bringing up some things that are very, very important. But while we're talking about those things, we have to send the message to all of those that 99.9 or whatever percent of those officers who are out there, we have to send the message to them that we support them. We're going to give them the resources and the training they need, and then we're going to help to make the adjustments when mistakes are made.
And we're going to recognize the good work as frequently as we can, just like we acknowledge with transparency when mistakes are made.
Yes.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We talk law enforcement today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn. And now it's time for Jimmy and Rhinebeck. Jimmy.
Hey, great show, guys. Thank you so much for your service. You as well, Ray. I was wondering what you thought about, like, in making mandatory sentences for people that get caught with illegal firearms, say, like, 5 or 10 years. And I'm just curious what you thought. Love the show.
You want to go first?
I think it's an interesting question, because a lot of cities across the country are exactly talking about that type of issue. And there are some law enforcement experts who believe that if there is more teeth to, you know, this issue of finding these individuals with guns, whether they're illegal or not, that it could serve as a deterrent for future gun violence. And I think Chicago is looking at this, and some of the other bigger cities. So I'm intrigued by that question, and I think that there could be some merit to it.
You know, I'm kind of torn on this issue. There's no question that mandatory sentences are incredibly unpopular in some segments of the criminal justice system. And, you know, Massachusetts, we have mandatory sentences for some firearms violations on the books, and we very infrequently see them utilized. So I'm not sure that imposing more sentences is actually going to have the impact that we think it would have.
All right, Jimmy, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Joseph in Chatham is on. Joseph. Or maybe he's not on. Hello, Joseph, are you there? Zach, the engineer, what are you doing to me? It says he's there. He's not there. All right, Joseph, call back, and perhaps I'll let you back on. Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
How you doing today?
Good.
My question is for the police officer in Albany.
That's Chief Hawkins, yeah.
The chief.
Yeah.
About these dirt bikes that are riding up and down the streets on Central Avenue and stuff. What's going on? What are you guys doing about them?
We've developed a task force of officers from departments across the Capital Region, because what we found is that these individuals who are riding these ATVs and these dirt bikes they're going through Schenectady and Troy and in Albany. And we're all seeing the same problems.
Same people going through this?
And we suspect it's the same people are involved.
That's a long ride from Central from Schenectady to Albany.
In some cases, we found that they're loading these vehicles up onto trailers and taking them to certain places.
To what end?
Unloading. And it's a joyride. And they're hitting all of our cities. So we have officers that are working together and talking, sharing information, sharing resources to try to identify these individuals who are involved in this. And we're also working with the state police. We have a drone program that we'll be launching real soon. We have other intelligence measures. You know, we'll be working with the public to get some anonymous. Referrals to help us with some investigative leads. So we're on it.
Are you actually going after these guys?
We're not. I'm telling my officers not to pursue these individuals through our streets.
Not to pursue. They're basically free to go wherever they want.
Well, they're not free, but pursuing these individuals who are already engaging in reckless behaviors on our streets adds to the instability of our streets. And so we're following at a distance, and they don't have carte blanche to violate laws in our city. But we are being responsible in how we respond to it. And I don't want to add to the danger and instability of on our streets by having my officers pursuing these individuals through our residential areas. But I think that having some aerial support when we do see them, to give us an idea of where they're going, so we can follow at a distance, could be helpful. So that's why we're working on a potential partnership with the state police in their aerial unit. We're also again working with our with some drones that.
How many drones do you guys have?
We'll have two.
Yeah.
When we eventually launch this program, and also what we're finding is that individuals in our communities, our respective communities, know who these individuals are who are on these ATVs and dirt bikes. So we're asking them to identify who they are, where they're storing these vehicles, and to give us some more investigative leads. So we're methodically kind of working our way through it without doing it in a way where it adds to instability and danger on our roadways.
Is this a new proliferation of this? I've been working on this street for decades.
And I know Chief Wynn, talk about it too, but over the last 5 or 6 years or so, it's something that's just taken off across the country. You can YouTube this, and in cities across America, we're seeing this.
And that's the driver. It's getting the video out in a social media platform.
So it's the narcissistic society in which we live.
It's clicks. It's all about the clicks.
All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You have a question about law enforcement policies or practices, now's the time to call. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Law enforcement, the topic today. Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn is here, and Police Chief of Albany, Eric Hawkins, here. Let's see, the fireworks and festivities start in Albany when tomorrow? Two or three? Do we know? Let's see. Really? 9 o'clock? Why don't you pull up a mic, Steve? No? No, you don't want to? Well, anyway, it'll be a big event. There'll be a lot of people in town, right?
And it starts during the day, early afternoon, and it culminates with the fireworks show, the actual fireworks show in the evening.
And you'll have a lot of guys on duty doing overtime tomorrow?
We sure will.
All right, and also you have 4th of July festivities at Wacona Park tomorrow. Chief Wynn, what do you guys have in store? When does that start?
We've got the Independence Day road race starting at 9 a.m. In the park, up the parade route, and then back down to the park. And then the parade kicks off promptly at 10. We'll be on the parade route until the last unit comes off. And if the weather holds, it could be a while.
It's supposed to be a hot day and sunny. So,
but not as hot as it's been, and no rain called for. So this will probably be a slow parade. And then we take a brief pause, and then we're back for the Suns baseball game at Wacona Park, followed by the fireworks.
We have an email here from Patricia, and Patricia writes, as a member of the Berkshire Highlanders bagpipe band, I applaud Chief Wynn for marching at the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. The band marches him and many men in high heels down North Street in Pittsfield, and he's better walking in them than I am, says Patricia. Well, there you go.
Ringing endorsement.
See you tomorrow at the parade, says Patricia. And the marches, that is... it's in support of stopping rape and sexual assaults and stuff, right?
So Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is an international event to support women's rights regarding domestic violence and sexual assault. Absolutely.
And you wear the high heels? How long is the march?
It's a mile.
Oh, my
And
God.
In Pittsfield, we do it in September during our September 3rd Thursday. I encourage anybody to come visit and check it out. I haven't picked the shoes yet. I just want to comment on that email really quickly. The Berkshire Highlanders actually were profiled in our local paper, the Berkshire Eagle, this morning. They do an amazing amount of work in support of not just Walk a Mile, but they'll be in the parade. And they are always there for us when we have a police-related or fire-related event. So shout out to the Berkshire Highlanders.
Is Vox Pop on WAMC. Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn is here. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We go to Jill in Waterford. Jill, how are you?
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Great.
Good.
I have a scenario for you, and I'd like to know basically how the police come to certain conclusions that they come to initially. Several months ago, I was in a little fender bender. And as we were exchanging information, the state police came along And in the course of getting the traffic and everything straight, they asked me if I was on any medication, which I was, and I said I was. Things went along. Next thing I know, the gentleman that I hit left, and we hadn't even finished exchanging information yet. The police came, took me out of my car, and put me through a sobriety check. I am assuming it is because the breathalyzer part of this was inconclusive. They arrested me, put me in handcuffs, put me in the police car, and took me to the state barracks where they gave me another test.
Okay, Jill, while I have sympathy for you, I don't think these guys can really comment on a specific case.
Okay, here's the question. What would make a policeman believe that the individual was intoxicated when the individual was absolutely not?
Okay, that's a fair general question for our officers. Okay, that's good. So why don't we put that one out there?
Without some more specific information about the fact pattern that may have come from other witnesses, other callers, other people on the scene, the officer's observations, I don't have enough information to answer that.
And okay, fair enough. And Chief Hawkins? Same?
I agree.
All right, Jill, I'm sorry, but that is where we will have to leave that one. And good luck. Thank you. 800-348-2551 is the number. Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for all you do. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I just want to say, you know, we all have to live together in our cities, and we have to, you know, find a way to stop the violence. And a lot of it is through education. And I'm thinking if there's one mantra or one word that would solve a lot of problems between the police and the residents and the brothers and the sisters, the mothers and the fathers, that word is respect. And I just wish we could just put a sign up or make some way to get that through people's head that we all have to respect each other. We have to live together. And I just, that was my main message. I hope you guys can find a way to get that word out to the community.
It's a good message.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, nothing to argue with there. 800-348-2551 on Vox Pop. Steve, who is in the Capital District. Steve.
Hi, I think you guys are doing a great job, very challenging job with law enforcement. Ray, as you well, I've listened to many of your interviews.
Well, thanks.
You're terrific.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I was... I'm retired now, but I worked for the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for 30 years, 15 years as a policy analyst and 15 years as a grant administrator. So I'm definitely not representing them in any way, but I did see the development of crime analysts over the years, and I'd be interested in both chiefs' opinions on how that's worked out, whether that's been a benefit, how that's been employed.
I think it's been very beneficial for us in the city of Albany. You know, we're moving more towards a data-driven approach to resolving some or to identifying some of the issues that we have. And especially as we have fewer resources, you know, budgets are tighter now. So we have to be much more efficient in how we utilize our resources. And by having these crime analysts, they allow us to really pinpoint where, you know, our hotspots are, where some emerging issues are. And that's to me, that's the one of the more valuable benefits of having a crime analyst is allowing us to anticipate where certain issues may be occurring.
That's
based
interesting.
On data.
There's more of a predictive, as the technology and the software and the computing power increases, you're finding a more predictive nature to some of these analyses?
Absolutely. These crime analysts, they're professionals. They're very sophisticated in the way they go about doing their work. And like I said, it's not just telling us where things have occurred, but it's giving us some idea of where things may be occurring in the future. And so I find that extremely valuable. And you know, so I'm glad that they've emerged.
Chief Wynn.
Absolutely. Adding intelligence analyst capacity to the department has been a game changer for us. For all of the reasons around crime analysis and statistical analysis, excuse me. But even to go beyond that, just for the purposes of planning, So, for example, we were talking about our 4th of July events tomorrow. We were finishing our emergency planning yesterday. And to be able to finish the emergency planning with a local intelligence product that's tailored to our community, not just what we were getting provided from the Fusion Center, was huge. So it's definitely game-changing.
What is the Fusion Center?
Fusion Center is our Commonwealth Intelligence Center.
Everything. State police, local police. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And now we go to Wendy in Oneonta. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, greetings. I was wondering, given that, as you pointed out, police work is even more challenging now for recruits than it was when you guys started. Obviously, there's physical and sort of educational standards that you have to put your recruits through, of like, you know, they have to be able to shoot and whatever and run. But I'm curious if in recent years you have to include some kind of mental or physical, psychological screening and techniques or things that you have to apply to your people who want to be policemen. And how you come across, you know, well, let's try this, or who heard, did this work for you in, you know, in a different jurisdiction? And how do you decide how to screen people, your potential officers?
Sure. So in the Commonwealth, that the decision about whether you're going to use psychological testing is actually a local option. And so in our community, we've had psychological testing for my entire career and before that. But we have had to look at who we choose for our psychological testing providers. And I won't get into a lot of details, but several years ago, I had an officer who was in crisis, and I contacted our provider at the time. This particular officer was a veteran. And I asked about the pre-employment screening, and I was informed that they hadn't screened for post-traumatic stress. And so we got rid of that screener and went out and found somebody who specializes in public safety screening. And we've had remarkable success with them. There are firms that's what they do. They do police and fire, public safety.
Well, that's good to know, because obviously it's a stressful job for both sides.
And not just on the pre-employment. We use the same psychological provider for our fit for duty when we have screenings for cause for employees.
Chief Hawkins.
Same thing as Chief Wynn. We have a police psychologist that's part of our background process. So before they are even given offers of employment, they have to pass that psychological background. But it goes even before that with us, because part of our recruitment strategies are we're looking beyond, just like the caller suggested, we're looking beyond, you know, how fast they are, how strong they are, and some of these physical attributes, which are important. You know, it is a very physically demanding job, and there are some physical standards. But what's just as important for us now when we're recruiting new people for this industry is how strong are their interpersonal communication skills. You know, we're putting these recruits and these young men and women when they're interviewing, when they're in our academies, we're putting them in positions where we can assess their social skills to a degree, because what we're finding now is that a lot of, and I'm sure it's the same way in Chief Wynn's place, a lot of our complaints that we get from residents are not use of force complaints. The vast majority of our complaints have to deal with communication skills, just interpersonal social skills. And so we're really assessing that in our recruits right now.
Roughly, what percentage of candidates wash out before they ever get a chance to be in the force?
We're probably, in our background process, we lose probably 60%.
That's a lot.
I'd say 50 to 60%.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and let's now go to Germantown and Wayne. Wayne, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing pretty good. Happy, how are you?
Good. Happy 4th of July to the Chiefs and you yourself.
Same
and
to you.
I got a question. Like, I want to preface this. I try to make it short. You know, I grew up around cops. My Uncle Bernie was a cop. My father hired cops. I know cops, you know, all my life. I'm damn near 70 right now.
Okay.
But I got to say, on this, you know, where I see these videos of these women getting beat up and people getting shot and all this stuff, and I got to ask a question respectfully. You know, you got a weapon with a 14-shot clip. You got a gun, you got mace, you got a billy club. You keyed a mic in 3 minutes, you could have the whole police force backing you up. How could somebody be fear for their life with those resources behind them?
Okay.
I don't Isn't that a kind of, you know, help me out with this.
All right, Wayne. Thank you. Go ahead, guys.
I think a short answer to that is if there are improprieties within a police department, then it's incumbent upon the chiefs of those departments to make sure that we have systems in place to identify those issues and make the appropriate corrective actions. But it's also, and I'm going to keep going back to this, we also have to continue to encourage the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of these officers who are doing the right things. We have to continue encouraging them, and we have to continue publicly praising the hard work that they do, while also letting them know that if there are improprieties, then we will fairly and without bias investigate our own people and take the appropriate corrective action.
Chief Wynn.
Again, I would agree with everything the chief said. To the caller, I would just say I wasn't clear where you were calling from.
Down in Germantown, I think.
I would reach out to your local police department and find out where they do their training and ask them if it's possible for you to get on their judgmental force simulator and go run a couple scenarios.
What's a judgmental force simulator?
It's like our firearm simulator. Go run a couple scenarios where, yeah, you can have all that equipment, but you still don't know what you're dealing with. And when you can't see and you have certain bad angles, you have to go with the information that's available. And sometimes the fact of the matter is you are frightened because you don't have the information.
Well, all right. And we only have a couple of minutes here. And this is, thankfully, I have not been pulled over for speeding or anything in a long time. What's the best thing a driver can do? In other words, I always hear put your hands up on the dash so the officer can see them. But what's a good way to make sure the officer is comfortable with you so you can be comfortable with the officer?
When we do community classes, I always share, depending on the time of day, my suggestion is turn on your interior light, your dome light, roll the window down, and make sure your hands are on the steering wheel or on the dash when the officer contacts
you. Now, what if they say, well, let's see your registration, which is a fair question, and it's in the glove box?
But wait until they ask you so they can draw their attention to the glove box as you reach.
So in other words, don't grab it before they come up to the car. Okay, very good. All right, we have time for a call or two here. Let's go to Justin in Lanesboro. Justin.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I got an enormous amount of respect for what you do, and it sounds like one of the major issues that callers are having and just the public in general is perception. So I want to ask a very particular question, which is about the use of armored vehicles, since it seems to be a very divided perspective on that from the public standpoint.
Okay.
But knowing that they're really meant to keep officers safe, which in turn, keeps the public safe because you're not as worried about whether or not a shooter is going to be able to actually hit one of the officers.
Right. We have about 30 seconds here, Justin, so let's distill the question. We only have a short amount of time.
No, so that's it. What are your thoughts on educating the public about the use of armored vehicles in law enforcement?
All right, fair enough.
I think this is a great question, Justin. I think the messaging is important from the police departments because we have to get the message out that these, we're not an occupying force. You know, those vehicles have saved lives, not only officers' lives, but people, folks that we're out there protecting and serving. We've saved lives with those. And so we've got to just get the message out. If it's not out, if we're not doing it, a good enough job doing that, then we've got to get a little bit better with
it. All right, Chief Wynn, last word.
Absolutely. When we talk about our Bearcat, we emphasize that it's a rescue vehicle to rescue residents and to rescue officers.
Well, that's it for the show. Well done. The underwriting support comes from the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, presenting naturalist led paddle trips on the Racket River. Wildcenter.org for details. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org. And Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting David Babinet, performing Broadway Yiddish, cantorial, Ladino, and Israeli melodies, July 9th, 7 p.m. at Saratoga Chabad. Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival. Thanks again to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Pittsfield Police Chief Michael Wynn for being here today. Thank you for listening. Great calls. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Zach, the week is almost done, except that we've got to be back on Friday, right? No Vox Pop tomorrow. Thanks to Amber Sickles for answering the phones. Jim Lavoulis, our producer. Again, we'll be back on Friday with a Food Friday. We'll learn about the Instant Pot. Join us. Hey, be safe this week, this coming day here, and don't drink and drive. We'll